That's good. You may be seated. That's high-tech stuff here. The second coming of Jesus Christ. When will he come? Well, according to the gospel reading this morning, Jesus said, nobody knows but his Father. So anyone who speculates the coming is committing blasphemy. I just thought I'd say it. It is not anyone's duty to speculate. It is our duty to prepare. Just as Noah prepared for the flood as he worked building the ark, which saved his life and that of his family and animals, the rest of the world was having a bloody good time eating, drinking, and enjoying each other's company way too much. We are also told that on the surface of things, it makes no difference. Two men will be working side by side in the field. Two women will be working side by side in the home. They are doing identical work, but the Lord will take one and not the other. Why? Because even while doing ordinary daily chores, one was waiting for the arrival of the Son of Man and one was not. One was prepared and one was not. Their heart was open. Whether you believe this is how the second coming will happen or not, it is a perfect example of you can't judge a book by its cover. It doesn't matter who we are or what we do, CEO, administrative assistant, mechanic, priest, deacon, bishop, pope. It is what is in our heart the Lord sees. How have we prepared our heart to be the loving people God put us on earth to be? Preparation, truly an important thing to do for many of the things we want to accomplish in our lives. We must prepare. Last week, many of us enjoyed a Thanksgiving feast. If preparation did not take place, it would have been a Thanksgiving flop. We prepare every day, the moment we get out of bed. We prepare for special occasions. Who here has not prepared for their finals in school, or their concert, or their wedding? I make a list most days to show me exactly what I am to do from morning to night. A lot has to do with my memory, but to see what I have and need to do to prepare to make things right, make things happen. I think we can all agree that preparation is important. Now, you all know my next question. How are we, God's children, preparing? Well, I'd like to think that we prepare daily when we pray, show love and kindness. We are all preparing to become citizens of heaven. Let's use the example of being an immigrant. We have applied to a new country called the Kingdom of God. We haven't heard yet, when our visa will be approved. It seems like nobody knows, but we want to be ready. So we are already learning the language and practicing the habits and customs of the new land. While we are still citizens of our current country, we also live like citizens of the age to come. As we begin our new church year, Happy New Year, by the way. Today we are reminded that we are to be ready. Be ready to embrace our Lord when we see him. So now we have to search into ourselves and ask, will we know the Lord when we see him? Do we have our own personal friendship with Jesus? Actually, working to make Jesus our best friend. Someone we want to be with all the time. Jesus is not asking us to stay awake all night waiting for him, but to live in the present so that we can recognize the Lord when he appears in our lives. In the unrehearsed moments, the interruptions and accidents that can throw us off balance, in the everyday moments, be alert, awaken to your surroundings. Can't do that with a phone in your face, just saying. Be aware of the people who are hungry, thirsty, the stranger, the people without warm clothing, the people who are missing, Are they sick or in trouble? The coworker, family member, the person sitting in the pew this morning. Having that personal relationship with our Lord, dear friend, helps us help others. Every Sunday, and for some people, every day, we say the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Heaven on earth? Well, not so much, but we do see it sometimes. In Libertyville, we have a drifter who is located on the corner asking for money. He is there most days, and I think all day. He seems to always be there when I pass him by, except on Sunday mornings when he's probably in church. When I was at the red light, I got out my dollar bill to hand him through the passenger window. I looked up, and a man crossed the street in front of my car and went over to the drifter and gave him some money and a hug. I mean, really hugged him. And he talked to him as he hugged. And the drifter smiled and responded to some of what he said. Heaven on earth. Love given to a stranger. And we don't do this for God's sake. God wants us to live this life for our sake. To see God in everyone and to treat everyone like God. With kindness, respect, and love. Jesus doesn't want us to do good, kind things for us to get to heaven. He wants us to have heaven now, and being kind and loving will give us that joyful spirit. Advent, a season of anticipation and hope. It is the season for waking up and imagining a world where God's dream is a reality for us all. When we all have that joyful spirit, the joy you cannot buy, only receive by loving God on earth. Every year, the gospel reading for the first Sunday in Advent comes from one of the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And every reading has to do with death, judgment, and the final destiny of the soul of humankind. I think one of the reasons for this is to get us thinking about our lives here on earth and how we can have a closer walk with God this new year, perhaps to scare us into the arms of Jesus. How many of us had a scare which changed our eating habits, our relationships, our driving? Perhaps this scare will nudge us all into spending more time with our Lord in order to become better friends. So we add more time in our conversations with Jesus and in reading and studying about him. Perhaps we should do what we do on New Year's Eve, making our resolutions. You know, when we vow to work out more and eat healthier and read more. We can make a New Year's spiritual resolution starting today. And you notice I'm just making that singular. Let's make it doable. Let's take one step and make it last until it becomes part of our routine. Good old baby steps, one day at a time. They work for Alcoholics Anonymous and Weight Watchers. I'm sure it could work for our spiritual life. Some suggestions, say morning or evening prayer at least once a week. I have a great app for that. Put 5 $1 bills in your pocket the beginning of the week and give them out throughout the week. Read a few chapters in the Bible a week. Maybe read a book of the Bible a month. A must read, according to Father Dan, is Job. If we do this all year, we would have read 12 books of the Bible. These are just a few suggestions that could change our life, because doing things to get to know our Lord better means we will begin to see Jesus in our daily life. I'm sorry. I'm talking out of my head here. I didn't even have that down here. Oh, goodness. Our hearts will soften and open up. We begin to be a kinder and more caring person. It's crazy, but it's true. We all know why we're here, and it isn't to acquire treasures and things for immediate gratification. God put us here so we may have the joy that passes all understanding, a world filled with joy and love. I saw the movie Last Christmas a few days ago. I don't want to ruin it for you, but I will say this. The young woman starts off not so happy. In fact, her life was a mess. One of her lines at the end of the movie was, "Helping each other is what makes us happy." There is an Advent book out there for each family. Take it home, and perhaps that can be your first spiritual resolution. We have to think about it. To read the Advent book every day in Advent. It might just give you ideas for other resolutions to carry you on throughout the year. I pray we all have a blessed Advent and a new year of getting to know our dear Lord better. Amen.